You may say to yourself, I listen to and enjoy the Ron Van Dam podcast. What does that say about me as a person? You're probably going to want to sit down for this one. It's going to take a while, and it's not, you know, good. It's the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Let's not kid ourselves. Oh, my God. So what are you doing here? Did you click on this by mistake? Did you turn the radio on by mistake and there I was? I'm sorry. On the other hand, this could be a good time. Let's get this party started. I brought the dip. Obviously. Obviously, I brought the dip. All right, so far, about a minute into the program, I haven't said anything that's of any relevance whatsoever to anything. So I'm pretty much on a course that's going to lead me nowhere. I got to change that immediately. Okay, that's enough. That'll be enough. All right, look, I'm a little older than you are, maybe, or I could be a little younger than you are, maybe. One way or the other, I am sick of something that someone has been through a little bit of life so far can be sick about. When I was growing up, when I was a young adult, when I made a phone call to a company to get some assistance or some customer service or to ask a question of a company, I would dial the number. Yes, dial. I would push button the number and the phone would ring for about two or three rings and then somebody would pick up the phone and say, "Hello, Comcast," something like that. Ooh. And then I would talk to the person. This is the part you don't understand. This is the part I would say to the person, "Hello, I need help in setting up my modem. It's not working properly." "Oh, and what is your name?" "Ron." "Ron, let me get you to the proper person immediately." She'd put me on hold for no more than 15 seconds, and then a person would answer the phone and say, "Hi, how may I help you?" And we'd have a conversation. We would talk back and forth, and it would be pleasant, and they would resolve my problem, and if they couldn't, they'd put me through to somebody that could immediately. That was a wonderful heaven time to be alive. If you didn't experience real people answering the phone when you called the company, then you've been missing a heavenly experience, and I mean, it was wonderful. All right, that's the dramatic music. I was going for the heavenly music. It didn't work out. Now, I had a problem with Comcast because my modem apparently was slow and things weren't working very well on my internet in my house. And these days with the viral complications of life, internet is crucial to me, otherwise I'd be bored off my ass even more than I am. So I called Comcast. Ooh, don't ever do that. It's so frustrating. If you have any hair on your head, it shall be removed in the pulling process out of frustration. I called, the phone rang, and I got an automated voice that took me down so many roads, I ran out of gas. And not one of those roads was, are you having a problem with something? They immediately tried to upsell me on something. Did you know that this weekend, the WWF is fine. You can order that for $59.95. It's sales pitches and sales pitches. And then finally, how can we help you? None of the options that they list have any remote thing to do with why I'm calling. Then what do I do? If they don't say other at the end of that menu, like push 8 for other, well, God damn, I've sat through 7 options. And then I'm on hold for what seems to be an entire lifetime. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm on hold for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And they always say, due to the coronavirus, we're experiencing extremely long wait times. Don't you dare blame it on the virus. The poor virus. Everything's blamed on the virus. If you're getting a lot of people calling, here's an idea, Comcast. Hire some people. They're out of work. They could use a short-term job. They're not stupid people. Hire somebody. We don't have people working. We have people working remotely. I don't care if you're sitting on the toilet in the bathroom. Help me out. You're a company. When your bills come, I don't say, I can't pay the bill due to the coronavirus. I'm sorry, you're out of luck. No. Or due to the coronavirus, I will not be paying my bill until I get some money. But continue services anyway, please. But the company, like Comcast, has the nerve and the testicles to say, pay me all the money you got, or you don't get any service from us. At the same time, we won't provide any service to you, but we expect you to pay the bill in full. The hell you doing, man? If you can't properly service me, get the hell out of town or hire some people, and then you'll have more people to service me.
Due to the coronavirus.
Well, stop it. Just stop it. That has nothing to do with you servicing my account that I'm paying full money for. I wouldn't say I hate Comcast. I loathe them. I loathe them. Not love. Loathe. Any company that puts me on hold with an automatic voice thing. If you're going to do that, at least come back on the phone with an automated voice that says, you're like number 20, now you're number 18, now you're number 16, now you're number 14. All right, at least you're giving me a psychological update. Doesn't make the wait any shorter, but I feel like I'm getting to the front of the line now. It's like when you're standing on line for something, 6 feet apart, please. You're standing on line for something and you get closer to the front. That keeps you in the line because you're moving forward. You're making progress toward your goals. Comcast, give a shit what you do. Just sit there and shut up and I'll get to you when I can. And by the way, your bill is late. What? You've got some nerve. So I finally get through to a Comcast. They call them agents. I guess they're secret agents because they don't know anything. Get through to an agent, and they say, well, can I restart your modem? No. I did that already. I unplugged it. I waited 20 seconds, and I plugged it back in. I'm not a moron. Oh, because we can remotely restart your modem. Oh, just shut up. That's all you know how to do, probably. Well, that's true. That is all I know how to do. And if I can't resolve it by just resetting your modem, then I'm going to have to send somebody out. But because of the coronavirus, in some locations, that could take some. But pay your bill on time. That you must pay on time. Us showing up for service call or helping you out, not so much. You paying your bill immediately, please. Oh, God. So they set up a service. Am I boring you? Am I boring you? So I set up a service call, and a guy comes out. And I got to tell you, the guy seems pretty pissed that he had to come out to my house. I'm not a horrible person. I don't have a horrible house. I don't know what he's pissed about. I mean, I wouldn't say he was pissed. He didn't. It was like rumbling when he came through the door. He's fucking pissed. It wasn't that. It just didn't seem like he was enjoying himself. So he comes in. He replaces my modem. It's a, yeah, Ron, here's the deal here. I did a line check near your modem, and it was weak. So I replaced your modem. Okay. Now, I have Wi-Fi extenders, you know, because I have another floor here, and I have a Wi-Fi extender, and that's not working. Can you, sync it so that... No, I don't do that. I don't do that. That's not our Wi-Fi extender, and I can't... You could go to the Xfinity store and buy one of our extenders that goes with our modems, and then you wouldn't have to worry about syncing. It's fairly easy to set up. Even a moron could do it. In your case, though, yeah. Anyway, get those. They're called pods. You just plug them in the wall, and it extends the signal throughout your house. But I can't do that for you. Oh, I see. You can't do that for me. I see. Okay. Thanks for your extra help. And he leaves. I get in the car, and I go down to an Xfinity store. I feel like an idiot, but I'm doing it. I walk into the Xfinity. This is a true story, kids. I'm not making this up. Why would I make this? Why would I waste your time by making something up? I'm not the president. So I go to this Xfinity store. I walk in the door, and they run up to me. Can I help you? Can I sell you something? Can I sell you something? Can I sell? Are you here to pay your bill? Jesus. Your people are making me very nervous. Your people are making me very nervous. No, I just had my modem replaced by one of your freaking service guys, and he won't help me set up a Wi-Fi extender that's apparently not syncing up to the new modem now, so I don't have internet like on my bottom floor. So, well, have you tried moving the modem closer to the... Yeah, it's shut up. Just shut up. I was told that there's like you have little pods and they're like Wi-Fi extenders and I just plug them in the wall. Well, yeah, we do have them, but there is a problem. What do you mean there's a problem? We don't have any of them in stock. What? You don't? They're your product. It's your Wi-Fi extender. You sell modems, but there's no way to extend it to. Yeah, we're out of stock. Well, is there another Xfinity store in the area? Can you check that does have them in stock? No, they're all out of stock. What are you talking about? Well, they're coming up with a new generation, sir, and that won't be available until the second week of September. Second week of September. So Xfinity is like totally out of them everywhere I could go, and I can't do anything about getting Wi-Fi on another floor. That's correct, sir. But if you change your package... We can give you a better modem. I just had my modem replaced. The guy didn't tell me that. Yeah, if you changed your package, I could save you $10 and your modem would be a lot stronger and you wouldn't need an extender. Well, thanks for telling me, Jorge. I mean, what? It said Jorge on his badge. I didn't make that up. I felt like saying to him, you know, you guys at Comcast Xfinity, you make up names. There's no such thing as an Xfinity, whatever. You people suck. And that's what I felt like saying, but I didn't. I just turned around and left. So what did I do now? Okay. I'm going crazy. So I walk into a Best Buy store, which is next door to the Xfinity place. And I thought I'll get a geek from the Geek Squad to come out to my house and hook me up. And I walk in there, and the person stops me and says, how can I help you? And I said, well, I want to get a geek to come out to my house. Are you a geek? And she says, well, we don't do that out of here. You have to call our toll-free number, 1-800-GEEK-SQUAD. I said, look, this is like, oh, God, thank you. I don't know what happened to the planet in the past few days, but something's going terribly wrong. So I go home. I call 1-800-GEEK-SQUAD. I'm on hold for about 10 minutes. These days, that's not so bad. All the options that were given to me, not one of them said, have a tech come to your home and help you out. Not one of them. That was an other. That was the other option. So I finally get someone on the phone, They are pleasant. They can get someone out to my house the next day to do that, to install my Wi-Fi extender that I already had that I could not sync up. That was my original problem with my new modem. So yesterday, the guy shows up. One day later, beautiful. That's nice, fast service. Guy shows up. His name is Jose. Jorge on the phone, Jose in my house. Wearing a mask, comes in with a bottle of sanitizer, gloves. This guy's good. So far, this is good. I say, look, I have a Wi-Fi extender. I can't sync it up to my modem. I can't get wireless in the rest of my house. He says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. He does it. Within 10 minutes, I got it. He synced it up. I feel like an idiot that I couldn't do it. But he didn't call me an idiot. He said, I'll take care of it. I will do it for you. He did it. The charge was not exorbitant. It was good. And he cleans up after himself, and he's very sanitized, and he leaves, and job done. Geek Squad from Best Buy, 100%. Xfinity, Comcast, I wouldn't say you should rot in hell, but something like that. And that's my experience. If you've had a similar experience, I guess we've connected. Maybe it wasn't Comcast. Maybe it was some other company that you just can't get any satisfaction, and they're using excuses, and they keep you on hold forever. Here's the thing. I don't like going on the internet to resolve my problems. That's what all the companies say. Well, go to www.blah-blah-blah-blah-blah and click on blah-blah-blah, and they can help you there online. Why can't you help me with your voice? Why do I have to go somewhere and try to navigate and figure out, and then it doesn't work online? And then I get to these sites to help me out with something, and it says, well, log in. Log what? I don't have a login. What are you talking about, log in? Well, then you should call this number. I did call that number. They told me to go to the website. Now I got to log in. That's my problem. We'll call this. I did call that number. And this is what they... Ron, please. All right. I have a great guest on the show today. There is a cause that I am very connected to, and my guest is going to tell you about it. And if you love animals, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. Okay? All right? Good. First this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dances. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Kathy Guillermo joins us now. She's the Senior Vice President at PETA's Horse Racing Department. I guess you got to have a lot of departments in PETA with all the concerns these days.
We sure do. Lots of work to do.
Yeah, the Kentucky Derby is an event that seems to be taking place, and there's always controversy around horse racing. It's been going on for over a decade, as far as that's concerned. Is there still a concern, and how deep is that concern?
There still is a concern because horses are still dying on racetracks. They're still snapping bones and going down in catastrophic injuries. they're still going to slaughter at the end of their careers in some cases, and they're still suffering injuries that we never hear about because they're not publicly reported.
When someone goes to a racetrack to see horse racing, do you think they actually care that it's horses or dogs or people running? I mean, is it kind of all about betting? Are the horses becoming just tradition at this point as far as that's concerned?
That's a really good question. I think for some people who go to the track, it is really just about the excitement of the bet, gambling.
Yeah.
But I hear from dozens and dozens of people in horse racing on a monthly basis. And for many people in racing, they're sick of it. They don't want to see horses die. They don't want to be part of an industry that where these kinds of catastrophic injuries occur.
Right.
And I think increasingly we're seeing people turn away from racing because even though at one time it was a fun thing to do, if you go to a track and you see a horse die, it's not really a fun day.
No, not at all. Not at all. That would stay with you. Yeah, it's interesting. It's very similar, as far as I'm concerned, to eating meat, eating steak or eating a hamburger. If you actually saw how that thing got to your plate, you probably wouldn't eat meat again. I mean, it's just, we seem to be compassionate, but only as far as we want to see it.
That's right. And that is part of the reason that we set out to document so many of the abuses in racing. Yeah. We've done 8 undercover investigations of the racing industry and exposed many of the problems. And it's difficult to get this industry to move to save lives.
Yeah.
And if they don't do that, of course, they're going to die right along with the horses. Finally, in the last year, we're beginning to see some recognition of the fact that the public isn't going to support it when you have major newspapers taking an editorial position that horse racing should end. I think finally it has made some people sit up and think, well, we better do something here.
That actually seems to work, and that's almost the only way that it works in order to take something like that and to squash it. We had the situation with Shamu the whale, that kind of thing, where people just stopped going because that's just not, that's just not right. That kind of thing. I guess the public really does. That's the way it should be. If the public walks away, then you got to find something else to do.
The public has really driven these changes.
Yeah.
The scandal over the last year of the 37 horses who died in California at Santa Anita Park,
Yeah. The
change and the outcry came from the public. It's been going on for years, year after year.
I know.
Until last year, people didn't really pay that much attention.
Yeah, well, look what happened to circus. Similar. I mean, people do make a difference, and it does. The attendance went down drastically, and we know why. There are also drugs involved, I understand, with horse racing, and I guess those on the inside probably know more about that than the public does, but that's also a concern, isn't it?
It's a huge concern. Of all of the issues that racing needs to deal with, the surface of the tracks, the trainers with their multiple infractions, the secrecy surrounding racing, I think the number one issue is the misuse of medication. And there are really 2 issues involved in this. There is legal medication, which is being used improperly, and then there are illegal drugs.
Right.
And recently on the East Coast, there were 27 indictments from the Justice Department for illegal drugging of horses. But we also see trainers using a cocktail of anti-inflammatory drugs, sedatives, muscle relaxants. These drugs keep horses who are injured running when they should be recuperating, and we know that that leads directly to death.
Yeah. How can the public make a difference besides not attending, but I mean, is there some way they can speak up so that the industry realizes that it's stacking up against them?
Well, there are a couple of things people can do. They can support the federal law that would put the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency in charge of medication oversight for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of a fix here. It won't solve all of the problems. They can also let their legislators know that they don't want the state supporting racing with tax money. In New York State, for example, a group of education and human services organizations got together and asked the governor to pull the casino subsidies that are propping up horse racing. Right. And I don't think a lot of people know that some state funds are going into breeders' pockets, for example, in order to breed more horses to race on the track. So there are a couple of ways people can speak up.
That's a good point. I mean, off-track betting in New York is like going to Arby's or McDonald's or something. I mean, it's just, they're all over the place. What about, there are some states that actually have taken action, I think. I'm not too sure. I don't know what you know there, Kathy, but I know some states have banned that type of activity.
Well, the most action we've seen recently is in the state of California following all of the deaths. And at the governor's direction and at the demand of the public, we have seen probably more reform in California than anywhere else in the last 20 years. Yeah. It's not enough yet because horses are still dying, but it is better. And we've seen them reduce the amount of drugs that the horses can have, increase the veterinary oversight, tighten up a lot of regulations that allowed bad players to slip through the cracks and continue to drug and endanger horses. What we haven't seen yet is the installation of synthetic surfaces, which we know are the safest track for horses to run on. We haven't seen the mandatory use of CT scan equipment, which is the only kind of imaging equipment that can screen horses rather than just diagnose them for injury. And we haven't seen rules put in place to get rid of trainers who repeatedly break the rules. And unless we see those and until we see those, that death rate is not going to be zero. Yeah. And until it's zero, there's nothing else that's acceptable.
I'll tell you what bothers me most about horse racing. The horses are doing all the racing and taking all the risks. And then these owners of the horses are dressed in these luxurious tuxedos, the women wearing these hats that look like they spent $1 million on head coverings, sipping mint juleps. It's just, it's very society ugly as far as I'm concerned. The analogy between the horses risking their lives and these owners standing there with cocktails in their hands is just, it's just sickening. I don't know what it is, but it's, the picture is just off to me.
To think that somebody is sipping a cocktail while the horse who's on the track is risking his or her life, and that horses, when they're used up and burnt out, and most of them are arthritic by the age of 5 or 6 when their bones are just fully formed, to think that those horses may be going to slaughter while somebody's enjoying themselves at the racetrack is a repugnant image. I agree with you.
Yeah, no question about it. All right. So, once more, let me go back to something else, and you may not be as familiar because you're with the horse concerns, but the circus, what really prompted the circuses to start failing? Was it indeed the pressure as far as animal rights are concerned?
I believe that it was the animal rights message to the public.
Yeah.
Of course, it was the public that ultimately stopped going, and that meant the end of the profits for Ringling Brothers.
Right.
But the circus made it easy for us to take that message public because the abuse was so obvious.
Right.
And we have reached a place with so-called entertainment uses of animals in this country for horse racing, for circuses, for SeaWorld, and the use of captive animals in roadside zoos, broken down places where bears are still in pits. I think we've just reached a level of intolerance in this country, and that's huge progress as far as we're concerned. But all of these industries do make it easy for us to expose the abuses, the beatings, the deprivation, the whipping, what they had to do to keep those animals performing in ways that were so unnatural.
Yeah. Is it no wonder that the running of the bulls, I actually root for the bulls, and I think that that's fair turnaround, and I don't know. I get quite satisfied to see bulls chasing human beings after what they've done to them in arenas. I don't know. Well, thank you so much for your time. Once more, where we can get more information.
Your listeners can go to PETA.org. to find out the latest on the horse racing, or just mm-hmm. Google PETA and horse racing. They can see all of our videos on our exposés,
yeah.
and they can see specifically what we're asking of tracks and what actions they can take.
Interesting. It would be fascinating if during the Kentucky Derby, which I believe is televised, because that's about the only way you can see it, if PETA ran public service announcements or commercials during that show. That would be extremely interesting to me.
I wish we had the budget for that, but I'll tell you where we will be. We'll be all over social media.
Yeah,
so
good.
People will be seeing the video of some of the horses who
yes.
died on racetracks this year, because mm-hmm. even if a horse does not die at Churchill Downs, undoubtedly somewhere else in the country a horse will.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Can you believe that? That should be wonderful. Will you join me then? Just come by anytime tomorrow. I'll be waiting for you. I'm not doing anything. I'll be sitting in a chair waiting for you to contact me. Either click on my face on one of our like 30 different platforms that we're on, or you can hook us up on whatever radio station you're listening to. I'll be back same time tomorrow there too. So, until then, I wish you peace.